त्वमेव माता च पिता त्वमेव, त्वमेव बन्धुश्च सखा त्वमेव, त्वमेव विद्या द्रविणं त्वमेव, त्वमेव सर्वं मम सायिदेव. You are my mother, you are my father, you are my closest relative, and you are my closest friend. You are my wealth and you are my wisdom. You are my everything, O Lord Sai. With love, reverence and gratitude, I offer myself to the omnipresent, loving Lord Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear sisters and brothers, greetings of loving Sai Ram to all of you. I came from warm climate of California to this cold place of Chicago, but I can see the warmth of your love and hospitality and feel happy. And I thank Bhagavan and all of you for giving me this opportunity to share his divine love and universal and eternal message with you today. It is nice that you have nice officers here I have met. Thanks for the wonderful arrangements here and your hospitality. So I met all the officers, Swami Putta, Ganesh, Hari and Haras, Shankar I met. So all the deities are here. Ganesh removed the obstacles and we have Hari, the regional president, and Shankar, the local. So Swami says there is no difference between Hari and Hara. You know that, right? So he is both. Swami is both. So there is no difference. Because Swami says, was joking one time, the devotees of Shiva, the Ganas, and the devotees of Rama, the Vanaras, the monkeys fight. But the Hari and Hara, they are always friends. Because there is no difference between Vishwanath and Jagannath. And I also met some of my old friends. It was a very pleasant surprise. Dr. Bala, whom I know for many years, worked in the medical team and with Swami. And Mr. Valluri, he came and saw. And it is interesting. My wife, this was in, I think, 69 or 70, Swami visited Mr. Valluri's home, that is Justice Parthasarathy. Was it 69 or 70? Do you remember Mr. Valluri? Where is he? Around that time. So Swami visited Hyderabad to their house, and my wife went to their house and had a Swami's darshan, and she fondly remembers that. And she, Srinivas, and him, all the wonderful devotees, and you have a very beautiful singing group too. I was very touched with your bhava, the emotion and the love when you are singing for Swami. And as Swami says, wherever my glories are sung, there I manifest. No doubt Swami is everywhere with us, but especially when you sing with a lot of love, there he manifests, there he is present. And there are many instances where people had that kind of experiences where Swami has manifested. When really sometime, I think it was in Italy, they took photograph where the bhajans are being sung, Swami's form they could see. So Swami is really present, whether we may see with our physical eyes or not, but he is with us. So I am again express my gratitude to Swami for giving this opportunity to share his love and message with you today. There is in the scriptures, it is said, there is a special scripture called Viveka Chodamani, the great treatise, the crest jewel of discrimination. There is the composition by the great sage Adishankara, the great Advaitic master. He says, Durlabham trayametat daivanugraha hetukam manushyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshayam. Three things are very difficult to get by human effort. Only you can get by divine grace. What are those? Manushyatvam, being born as a human being. Second thing is mumukshatvam, to have that longing for God, to know the truth. That is the sign of grace. Third is mahapurusha samshayam, coming in contact with a great soul, a realized man, a saint. These are all the special signs of divine grace. Unfortunately, we are all human beings. We have the one grace. The very fact we are all here on a Saturday shows that we have longing for God. And Mahapurusha Shamshayam, the highest, we have the contact with not a saint or a sage or a realized man, with the Supreme Godhead, the Lord of the Lords, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, we have come in contact with. So just I want to share with you a few things about what Swami has said about this. Manushyatvam. Swami says there are 8.4 million species of beings in this universe. Of them, the pinnacle of this creation is human birth. That's why Swami says, Jantunam Narajarma Durlabham. Of all the things, the most difficult is to get the human birth. So there are billions of people on this planet Earth, but most of the people are interested in eating, drinking, and being merry. How many people want to think about God? So just we need to make best use of this opportunity. I don't know what we were in our previous lives. Some could be tree, plant, animals, whatever we are. But this is the pinnacle of creation where the human birth is given. That is why it is said, even Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Chine punye matya loka vishanti. Even the celestial beings, the demigods, want to be born as human being to reach the ultimate goal of liberation. So we need to make the best use of this human life. Otherwise, if you don't use, you can revert back. Actually, in Shirdi, people who have read Shirdi Sacharita, you can read a beautiful story. There were two brothers. They were loving in the beginning, but subsequently, after a while, there is jealousy and animosity between these two brothers. So the elder brother was very envious of this younger one who was very successful. So then they were having fighting, and this younger brother hit his elder brother with a big stick, and then the younger one hit the other one with the axe, and both of them dropped dead. And next life, they were born as two goats. Because Shirdi Baba was telling this story, when he was going along, he sees two goats. And then he takes them fondly close by and then feeds them and gives them money. Then these people were wondering why he's giving special attention. Then Baba tells, these two were brothers in their previous life. See what happened to them. And there is another beautiful story also, if you read in Shirdi Charita, two people, so they were hating each other. Actually, this is a very nice story. It's a long story. I don't want to go to that. Should go to Veerabhadrappa Channabasappa. There is a once Baba was there, there is a snake which was trying to eat a frog. So then there is a devotee of Baba says, Baba, that frog is going to die, this snake is going to eat. He says, no, 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 I will save it. He goes, he says, Veerabhadrappa, leave Channabasappa. And then the snake leaves the frog and goes away. This man wonders, my God, that means Baba knows the language and they listen to Baba. And then he wants to know the story. He tells the whole story. And then, this is a big story, so I don't want to go into the details of that. Then he says, these two people hated each other. So that enmity they had to carry on next life. So they were humans in the previous birth. But then because of their hatred, they were born as frog and a snake. So you see that is why Baba says, never carry any enmity or debt, anything, because for that you need to be born again. So just have love for all beings. And even our own Swami says that he had that Jack and Jill, who were the previous classmates of him, the dogs. So we can go back in our life if we don't use our life properly. If we don't have these negative qualities, we should be very careful. At the same time, if we behave good, even animals can have a liberation. Actually, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi had a cow called Lakshmi. She says, he had a big samadhi built. He says, it won't be born again. And once I was going with Swami in the car from the hospital to the ashram, and Swami was talking to me a lot about Sai Gita, how much love it has, and even when Swami's car passes, even from a distance, it knows and feels Swami's presence and responds. And then I was said, Swami, it has so much love. Will it be born as a human being in the next life? I asked him. Swami said profoundly, Punarjanma na vidyate. It won't be born again. That means from elephant itself, it will be liberated. So if you have love, so you have even as an animal, you have a great chance you may be liberated, one with God. You know this great Shri Kalahasti, the bear, the spider, the snake, and elephant, they were devotees of God. So just if more important is to have love for God. But the best chance we have is to have a human birth where we can make best use of time. And second thing is, even though you may be born as human being, as Swami says, there are millions, billions of people. You need to have mumukshutvam, longing for God, intense love for God. That is also a special grace of God. So because in the world, there are many kinds of people. Swami gives a nice example. There are three kinds of insects. Some insects, you know, bugs, they are born in filth, grow in filth and die in filth. They can't take the oxygen. If you put anaerobes outside, they will die. So there are other things better than that is the house flies. You know house flies? They go and land sometimes on the nice dishes, and then they go and land on the filth. And there are the highest, the honeybees. What all they want is only the nectar of the lotus. They would rather die, but they won't have anything else. Similarly, there are three kinds of people in the world. There are like the bugs. That means they are born, they eat, be happy, merry, have children, progeny, and they never think about God. They are the lowest kind. Then there are houseflies. That means they think about God sometimes. Then they have parties sometimes. Like a lot of us, Swami says, part-time devotees. Sometimes we give it for satsang. Then we want to have, again, social parties and fun. They are like, that is why Swami says a lot of us are part-time devotees but want full-time benefits. So Swami says that doesn't work. So this is like the house flies which are doing part-time devotion. But the highest are the honeybees which are want only the nectar. That means they only love for love's sake. They only love God. That is the highest Swami wants. Like Hari was singing that beautiful song, you want the eyes to see only his form, ears only to hear his name, mouth and voice only to sing his glory. So everything is saturated with love for him. That is the kind of life we should lead. Not have, by the way, thank you, Siddhesh, for your kind and generous introduction. But I was little bit concerned because Swami is watching. You said eminent person, this and that, all those elaborate things. So Swami says ABC, always be careful. Because just when you are telling that, I was reminded of the story of late Professor Kasturi. You know, he is a wonderful speaker. He wrote the biography of Swami, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, and he used to tell humorous stories. So once he went on assignment and went to North India to give talks about Swami. So he is a wonderful speaker. And so he was very happy that he shared Swami's love. Once he came back, he thought Swami will pat him. What a great job you did. Instead of that, Swami completely ignored him for a few weeks. He was worried because, you know, he was getting daily attention from Swami. Swami ignores, it is like a living death for you. Sometimes Swami ignores you. So he could not stand it. Then his mother appealed on his behalf. Swami, my son is distraught. You are ignoring him. Then he says, ask him to come. So then he went to Swami, fell flat at his feet. Swami, what did I do wrong? So you went there and you were giving talks and people were praising you and you were keeping. Swami, I didn't tell them to do that. No, no, see, Swami showed the invitation. They printed on the form that Professor Kasturi is giving talks and after the talk he will give interviews. And Swami, I didn't tell them to put it. No, no, you didn't tell, but you were enjoying inside. They were doing that. So Swami knows inside. So our ego, he's very careful. We need to be watch out what we think. So because that is the greatest obstacle for spiritual seeker is this ego. So just I sing great, I talk well, I write well, read well, do service. Whatever form or shape it is, that is the greatest obstacle. So that is why we should have that purity of this mumukshutva. Intensity is very important. As I said, we can be part-time devotees, but we should have that full-time intense devotion. That is what mumukshutva is. We should have the intense longing like a honeybee does. And second thing is, when we are doing this, we need to have steadfastness. In spirituality, it is like walking on a razor's edge. Like Kathopanishad says, Churashya Dhara, always walking on a razor's edge. So we should always be alert and we should be steadfast. There were a lot of obstacles come, but we should not be distracted by the obstacles. Like Swami gives the greatest example is of Ganesha. So you know Ganesha, when he was writing the Mahabharata, when Vedavyasa was dictating, he says you can't stop it. So when it was going on, the story goes, he ran out of the ink. Then he broke the task and started writing. That means you should have that kind of steadfastness. When we are doing God's work, you cannot stop. Whatever it may happen, you cannot go. For example, I'm having this bad cold. Last 1 week, I thought whether I could do it or not. I said, Swami, you give me the strength. So please excuse my voice if it doesn't sound right. Because Swami is doing that to me. I don't know, about a month and a half ago, I went to Panama. Same thing happened. Before I went there, Swami gives me this cold. Then I was reminded of a story. Sister Teresa of Avila. She's a great Spanish saint. The Carmelite orders was started on behalf of her. Then she was going on a work to spread Jesus' message. So she was going, and those days there was no cars, but she was going in a buggy, and then the cart falls, and she fell down, she breaks her bones, and she says, Lord, I am going to spread, talk about you and your message. Why do that to me? I am your friend. She says, I do, Jesus, she hears the voice. Jesus says, I do that to my friends only. Then she says, that is why you have so many few friends. So just God, whatever he does, we should have that steadfastness. Another example Swami gives is that of Hanuman. You know the whole story, how Hanuman, when he was going in search of Sita, many things came, the temptations came. First, I don't want to go to the details of the story. So come and relax here, have the food and temptation. He doesn't yield. Similarly, there is fear and anxiety, some attacks, but the enemies come. He doesn't yield. So when you want to do God's work, you should have that one point steadfastness. And third thing is, in mumukshatvam, we should have patience. Patience, patience, patience. That's very important. Swami says, even Shirdi Avatar, he used to say, Shraddha Saburi. He used to ask Dakshina two coins. One is faith, another is patience. Because spiritual life is how many lifetimes we have been waiting, we never know. So, but this time we have the opportunity to come in contact with the avatar. We need to make best use of it. As he was telling, from my childhood, I was Shirdi Baba devotee. So when I came to Swami, I heard about Swami and I went to Swami 5 years ago, but I was not intense. But I came back after many decades and then I was with Swami. Then I said, Swami, I have been praying for you since childhood. Why did you make me wait so long? I was complaining about him. But Swami said, everything has right timing. So none of us should feel bad. Even in our family, sometimes you want your children, family, friends to come to Swami. It may not happen. Everybody, God decides when to come to him. That is the exact thing Swami said. Swami says, this is the right time for you. And he gave a beautiful example. He says, you are a doctor. You know, when the person develops a cataract, the doctor operates when the cataract is mature, not before. Then you will damage. So right timing is there. Then Swami said, second thing is you get a wound. You get an injury and the wound is healing. When the scab forms, it naturally falls, it is okay. But if you pull it off before, what happens? You bleed. So the time has to be right. And another example Swami gave, one after another, three examples. There is a tree, there is a fruit which is ripening. You pluck it unripe, you are wasting it. When the fruit is ripened, you take it, you make best of it. So everything has right timing. That is why we need to be having patience, patience, patience. Sometimes we get restless. So I remember my daughter when she was 10, we were with Swami in the interview room, and Swami asked, what do you want? She said, Swami, I want liberation right now. She said, right now. So Swami laughed. He was so kind. He didn't say anything. So now she had to get married, have children, because we are sometimes don't know what we are really asking for. So just Swami says, patience, It is very important because Swami tests for us. One time I remember, this was many years ago, I was in Darshan. Swami talked to me a couple of times and called. And then I said, I will see you tomorrow. So he said, so then I was leaving. I said, then the day I was leaving, I said, Swami, I'm leaving. So Swami said, you will see me. I thought, usually when he means I see you tomorrow, means he'll call for the interview. Then Swami, you said, you will see me today. So yeah, I'm seeing you today. so just with Swami, you can't play. You need to, whatever he tells, you need to have patience, and he knows what is right. So this is, we should need to have that important aspect of spirituality is patience, patience, because God does in his own time. You might have heard about Isaac Tigret, how Swami called him, and after for 15 years, every year he used to go 3 to 4 times, Swami ignored him completely. But still, he's an example of steadfastness and patience. He went on, going, and finally he was rewarded abundantly with Swami's grace. So what we need in spiritual practices is to have this important steadfastness and patience. Third thing is Mahapurusha Samshaya. Contact with a holy man. Contact with a saint like Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi, Aurobindo, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Vivekananda, Ramakrishna. That is a great blessing of the Lord. But here we have not a Mahapurusha, we have Purushottama, the Supreme Lord Himself as our Guru, Guide and God. How blessed and fortunate we are. I was remembered in 1994, Swami was kind enough to invite me and my wife to Kodaikanal as guests. And it is a wonderful retreat because you stay with Swami, eat breakfast, lunch, dinner with Swami, go picnic with Swami. It's one of the heavenly experiences you can have. And during that time, me and few of the devotees were sitting at the lotus feet of the Lord, and late Professor Sampath, he was the then Vice Chancellor of the Satsai University. So we were both sitting, and then Dr. Sampath said, Swami, it must be my good karma of my previous lifetime. I am sitting at your lotus feet. Swami said, no, wrong. It is not only the good karma of this time, our previous lifetime of not only you, but generations together of your elders and ancestors gave you this good fortune. So really, it is really how blessed to be able to have even heard about Swami's name. So you may think about people who have the Christians, they think at the time of Jesus, how blessed they are. Or people who are devotees of Rama and Krishna, if they were in the contemporaries, how wonderful they feel. So we are the very most blessed and fortunate to be the contemporaries of this avatar, having his darshan and having his sparshan and his sambhashan. This is really a wonderful opportunity because we do not know the real good fortune we have. Only the posterity, the people will tell, oh, how blessed and lucky are those people who were there during the time of Satyasai avatar. One Swami Abhedananda, he was a disciple of Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. So he was at the end of his life and he didn't find that his life is fulfilled. So he was reading Satyam Shivam Sundaram, what Professor Kasturi has written. There, he said, this avatar of the age is here. So he thought, because by that time his guru Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi left the earth. So he felt he needed some guidance from the avatar. So he went to Puttaparthi. And Swami called him. Swami likes the sincere spiritual seekers. Swami called him, blessed him profoundly. And after he came out, Professor Kasturi asked Swami Abhedananda, how was your experience? Oh, I had a blissful experience. Sir, only one thing I do not agree with you. What you wrote in the Satyam Shivam Sundaram is not correct. What is it? You said Swami is an avatar. Swami is not an avatar, he said. Swami is the supreme Parabrahman. He's the source of all avatars. That is the kind of experience I had. Swami Abhedananda said that. You see that his Swami is not only Sakara and Saguna, but he's Nirguna and Nirakara. So Swami is all names and all forms. Like my wife, before she came to Swami, she was the devotee of Balaji, Lord Venkateshwara. So after we came to Swami, I said, for me, Swami is everything. I said, I don't need to go any place. But she was feeling guilty. From her childhood, she used to go to the hills, go on walk. Even when we were in the classmates in medical school, she used to go and walk up and every year, 3-4 times, she used to go. And once we came to Swami, we couldn't go because I was thinking we should spend all the time with Swami. So one year, Swami allowed, there was a big chain of incidents happened. Swami wanted to fulfill her desire. Swami let her go to the Tirumala Hills. Then she went there, and then she went and looked in the sanctum sanctorum, the Balaji. When she saw, instead of that thing, she saw Swami. She had that complete relief. After that, she had no doubt Swami and Balaji Venkateshwara are one. She never looked back, never felt guilty that she didn't go to Tirumala Hills. Actually, Professor Kasturi, in his book, Loving God, writes the similar experience he had. He was also a devotee of Lord Venkateshwara, and Swami told him one time to go, and he had that experience, and he never went back again. Same thing happened to my father. My father was devotee of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. He took actually initiation from a saint called Itishwarananda. He was a direct disciple of Brahmananda. So after he came to Swami, my father was feeling guilty because he already had a mantraopadesh from a guru. Am I doing the wrong thing? So then one night he had a dream. So Sri Ramakrishna was going on a bullock cart, sitting there, and my father was following the bullock cart behind. And when he was going, suddenly that Sri Ramakrishna changed into our Satya Sai Baba, Bhagavan Satya Sai Baba, to show that all names and all forms are his. Actually, interesting, 2 days ago, day before yesterday, I had a dream. And I had, in the dream, I was discussing, somebody said, Jesus is the only way. I said, no, all ways are to God. Then somebody said, no, Sai Baba is the only way because Sai Baba is the father of Jesus. I said, no. Then Swami told me, tell them that all are same. In the dream, he says, so all, tell them there is no difference between Sai Baba, Jesus. Tell them that. So I wanted to share. Just it happened day before yesterday in the dream. And then last night, Swami, just around 3 a.m., he came with a message, tell them this particular message. This has happened. I shared in many places. Again, I want to repeat this. In 1968, you should all read this. The May 17th, in the first World Conference, Swami gave an amazing discourse. This is the revelation of his divinity. Swami said, in this form, that means this Swami's human form, every divine principle, every divine entity, that is to say, all the names and forms ascribed by man to God are manifest. Never let any doubt distract you. Swami said that. So just we should never forget that. And also he added, don't try to explain me, understand me. Only experience me. And he said, added, that whoever it is, whatever his method of inquiry, even if the whole humanity combines for thousands of years, you do the inquiry, you can never understand me. So let us, brothers and sisters, make it clear. If somebody wants to explain away Swami, understand, use logic, Swami, why he did that, why? Swami himself categorically said, nobody can understand me. But we can all experience his love and share that love with others. That we can do. That's why one time Swami, I asked, what should I do, Swami? I am not enlightened. What can I go and talk others? Like the blind leading the blind. Swami says, that is not correct attitude. You have experienced my love. Premanu pensuko pansuko. He says, share my love and expand my love. That is the duty of all of us, the devotees who have experienced his love, to share with others. Because we have this loving Lord, the Supreme Lord, Purushottama, with us. So we should try how to make best use of our time having known him. Swami is really the whole message. He was asking about what should you say, whether message, love. Because with Swami, everything is love. His life, his message, his humanitarian works, his ideals, all can be enshrined in one word. Love, love, love. Because Swami is embodiment of love. He is love walking on two legs. Swami sings that beautiful song. What does he say? Love is my form, truth is my breath, bliss is my food. Really, his form itself is love. So says Swami says, from the hair to the tip of his toes, the nail, everything is saturated with love. Swami says, God is love, love is God, live in love. Start the day with love, fill the day with love, end the day with love. This is the way to God. So just to be able to have the love, that is why he showers so much love on us. I can share you some of the incidents how Swami showered love on our family and people whom I know. This happened about a couple of years ago in December, Christmas time, 2 years ago. My mother and father, they live with us because Swami told them to live with us. They are doctors. They, as if he's the divine doctor, but somehow he let us have the responsibility to take care of them at home. So they both live with us. My father is around 90. My mother is 87. So 2 years ago, she had a major stroke and she was in coma. So we called the paramedics, rushed her to the hospital. Our hospital is only 5 minutes away. So the hospital, she was taken. She was completely unresponsive. I had a neurologist friend who saw her and he says she may have a special lesion. She may have to go to a specialized center. So we cannot treat her here. I was praying to Swami, Swami, I don't want her to go to another place because here I have a little bit clout. I could take care of her much better. I was praying and within 5 minutes, friends, he comes back. No, we can manage here because she says he was responsive. The Swami how right away hears our prayers instantaneously. So she was admitted to the intensive care and we have 6 specialists. One is infectious disease and we have the cardiologist, a neurologist, an internist, and everybody, 6 specialists are there. Everybody has their opinion. She may not last more than a few days. Even if she lasts, she will be here for many weeks and she will have residual deficit. Then we sent a fax to Swami. Swami, this is the situation. Swami didn't answer anything, but by his grace, within 24 hours, she woke up and said, Sai Ram. And these doctors were amazed. They thought, because they are none of them are devotees, they said, they know I go to see Swami. Your Sai Baba must have done this, they said. This is sure. I said, it is only by Swami's grace. And then I told my mother, did you thank Swami? She says, why should I thank Swami? Swami is our very own, she said. I said, what can I say? Just I kept quiet. So within a week, she was discharged home without any deficit, without any problems. And then a few weeks later, we went to Prashantinilayam. Swami was kind enough to talk to us. Then I expressed our gratitude on behalf of my mother and the family. Swami, you saved her. So really, it is only by your grace because doctors gave up the hope. Then Swami, only thing is I told her to say thank you to you because express gratitude. She said, no, Swami says that is the correct attitude. You express gratitude and thanks to somebody whom you don't know. So you somebody whom you feel you are very own, like your own mother, father, you don't, because that is the attitude we should feel. God is not somewhere else, some other place. God is our very own. That is the kind of attitude we should have. Then Swami rewards. So you should have that. So Swami supported her viewpoint that you don't need to express gratitude. At the same time, remember, just Swami wants us to be grateful to everything. Swami himself is an example of gratitude. You might have heard when Swami visited Horsley Hills many years ago, few decades ago, he spent those days, he was not going to Ooty or Kodaikanal. Now he was going, in the old days, he used to go to Horsley Hills, that is in Chittoor district, it is a hill station. Swami went there, he spent about a week or 10 days there. And when going back, Swami said, the people were about to get into the car. Swami said, you guys wait, I'll come back. Swami went back, and just only Professor Kasturi and another devotee, they followed him sneakingly. Then he went there, what Swami was doing? Swami went there, there was a buffalo. And Swami looked at the buffalo, he patted it, materialized vibhuti, and gave the vibhuti to the buffalo. Bangaru, you did a good job, he said. This buffalo carried the water from the down hills, up hills, during the whole stay of Swami, because there's those days, that is the only way. So Swami showed how to express, he went and expressed gratitude to the buffalo. So to show that everything in life, we should be grateful to. That is why in Dasara we do this Ayudhala Puja, where people, every instrument, everything we need to be grateful. I remember one incident, I think some of you know this person, he's no more, I heard, James Johnson. He comes from your region. Anybody knows here, James Johnson? Some people, Hari knows. Anybody else? So this man, you know him? Yeah, he is a wonderful devotee. I never met him personally. He's like a pen pal friend. He's a phone friend for my wife. So he used to call and then talk to her on the phone a lot. And he must be 90 plus. And then his voice was so loud. My wife was talking in the family room. I could hear in the bedroom. I was getting annoyed. Who is this man who is going on? Then you should never judge. So I was telling, he just goes on calling. One time he called and my wife was not home. So the answering machine. So he says, Mrs. Reddy, this is James Johnson calling. I wanted to talk to you, but you are not home. You call me when you have time. By the way, answering machine, thank you for taking this message. So he said, then I learned a lesson. My God, what a great deal. He is expressing gratitude to the answering machine for taking a message. That means he was not phony. He's really a very sincere, that to be grateful to the answering machine for what the things. So you should be grateful for everything. Another incident about him is very interesting. So this was, I think, 65th birthday, where 1991, Swami's hospital was inaugurated. So they announced many people's names who donated for the hospital. And this man's name, James Johnson, they announced, saying he gave $100,000. Nobody knew. I heard he was very poor and he was living in very meager living conditions, and people were giving the ride to him. They couldn't believe that he really gave the money, because $100,000. Then they came to know, devotees told me, when they went back and asked, this man was very poor, but he was serving his sister who was terminally ill. And she died, and when she died, because he served her so much, she gave the will, whatever money she has, that $100,000, she gave to the brother. What would anybody would do in that situation? Because he is so desperately poor. He says, this is not my money. I heard Swami is building the hospital. This money belongs to Swami. And he gave the whole $100,000, whatever he has, to Swami. And when the people came back and expressed, my God, James Johnson, you gave that, he felt very bad, it appears, because he didn't want anybody to know he has given. That is the real charity. Like Jesus says, let not your left hand know what your right hand does. That is the kind of sacrifice and gratitude Swami expects us to have. See, so coming back to that, Swami, this happened, and then Swami says, if you really want to have love for God, you should have that feeling, oneness. Swami is my very own. Swami is my father. Swami is my mother. Swami is my friend. That kind of relationship, always with God, the best way to nurture is to have a relationship with him. Like Yashoda had, like Krishna, she thought it is the child. Or like Radha, like a spouse. Or Kuchela and Arjuna, like a friend. Some kind of feel, you should have that relationship with you, so that you can intensify, instead of thinking, the Lord, the what in heaven, hallowed be the name. Don't put him somewhere in a distance. Think he is very close to you. That is the kind of feeling you should have. Because Swami takes care of every little things. I can tell you another wonderful thing. This is my second daughter's father-in-law, Dr. Ram Shetty. You know, some of you know him. He's a cardiologist, practices in Santa Maria, California. So he was having a problem with his eyes. His eyes was getting congested a lot. He consulted many ophthalmologists. Nothing was happening. So he was there that time, 1995, June. That is the time Swami performed the wedding for my first daughter. So this is the father-in-law of the second daughter. So this happened. This man was there. And we have what is called Trayi session there in Vrindavan. So Swami gets the students and some guests, takes in the house. And then we'll have some people give a talk, or Swami himself gives a talk on various spiritual topics. So that day, his eyes were so blood red. So this Dr. Ram Shetty was sitting in a corner hiding from Swami and other people's. He didn't want people's attention, why your eyes, because people will ask questions, why your eyes are red and what is happening, and Swami. He was hiding in a corner. So he didn't want even Swami to see him. But who can hide from Swami? His eyes, that is the foolish thing. His eyes are everywhere and he knows everything. So Swami calls him America. He doesn't respond. So that other people are there from America also. Then he says, California. He doesn't respond. Then he says, Dr. Ram Shetty, come. So then he goes there, goes to the divine lotus feet, and Swami does like this, materializes the eye drops and puts in his eyes. And he says, usually even you put some water or saline, your eyes will burn. He said it felt like so cool, and he felt so relieved of the pain. And then next day, his eyes were back to normal. So Swami called him on the interview next day, along with some students. And Swami introduced him to the students. He says, this is such and such cardiologist from California. Do you know how his eyes were yesterday? They were very red. See how white they are now? Do you know how red they were? Swami did like this and brought a big strawberry. So this red they were. And Swami says, in India you have small strawberries. You see, this is big strawberry from America. It's not only from America, from California. That too, Santa Maria, because the place where he comes from is known for strawberries. So they export strawberries from all over. This is the strawberry from Santa Maria, California. And then Swami did like this, cut into two pieces, just with a finger like that. Even with a knife, it is difficult to cut a strawberry. You'll have juice spilling. He cut two pieces, and then he gave it to him to show that how his love is transcend all borders. How just, you said, and also cutting, you cut the strawberry, you will get all juice, messy. He says, just perfect cutting. So he did that. I reminded of how Swami's ways are mysterious. In November, we had the World Conference, and we had the exhibition also in the Puttaparthi. So that time, a lot of volunteers were working a long time, long hours, and the three volunteers, actually Mike Congleton, who is the president of the council now, and Venkat Sadan and the Rohan, there are a few devotees who are working late in the night till 2 a.m. So suddenly at 2 a.m., one this Sevadal comes to them. He's in kurta and pajama, I heard. He comes to them and brings and tells, do you want some, Swami sent you this prasadam? He says, yes, sir, Swami sent prasadam. Then he takes a laddu, does like this, two pieces, and he gives one, because there were six people, three of these volunteers and three who were helping them. Total, there were six. Swami took, just not, you know, now it is Swami. That time, the volunteer took, made two pieces and gave to, like, the six pieces total from three laddus and gave to these six people. And then once she left, then they realized, my God, first thing is they were cut. You know, laddu, even if you cut, you will always have pieces. It's just like perfectly, like the strawberry being cut. This, that, and then after a couple of minutes, these people started running. Where is that man? We want to see. He can't be found. So how Swami is there with us all places. If you do his work, not only when you sing his glory, but when you do his work, he is manifest. He is with us. He takes care of us. Not only the major thing, even minor things. Let me tell you, this happened when 20, 25 years ago. So we were having, like you guys have satsang, we had satsang in Hollywood. So whenever they have like the potluck, people bring different things and they have bhajans and then satsang. So we were going on the way to Hollywood, and then I saw a place and they said French fries, that is special for French fries. I told my wife, let us stop from French fries and go. And she was very intense. No, Swami says ceiling and desires. We should have ceiling and desires. Why do you want French fries? I said, okay, Swami says, wife, if he tells good thing, wisdom invited forever. So he says, wisdom, okay. So if she's a spiritual companion, yes, wisdom invited forever. Otherwise, Swami says, it could be worries invited forever. If he drags you down. So it depends on the woman. If they give you, take you on the right path, they are wisdom invited. So I said, yes, that is a good advice. I should listen. I can't be craving for that. So we went there, satsang, and we were there. Usually people bring rice and fruits and pasta and all that. That day I go there, I say, look at that French fries were there. So never happened before, never after that. How Swami fulfills even these transient desires of yours with love. That is the wonderful of Swami. How he takes care of every little desire. And coming back to the similar incident happened in 1994 in Kodaikanal. So we were with Swami and Swami took us to picnic one day. So when we went for a picnic, so we were in a garden and then Swami had the students. Swami went to near a bougainvillea vine. You know bougainvillea with the flowers, paper kind of flowers. So Swami went there, took like this, and there are two plums. He took over the bougainvillea. I will show you, I have some pictures of that. Swami did like that. Two plums came out of the bougainvillea vine. And he gave to two students, those two plums. So then I thought past me, I wish I had one. Just I didn't say to Swami. Swami said, you are silly guy, we can have two. Then we went to the Sai Shruti, that is where Swami stays. And then Swami says, hey, did you see the plums I plucked out of bougainvillea? Because we take everything granted around Swami. Just out of bougainvillea wine, not plum tree, he plucked the plums. And then we went to bed. Next morning I got up, on my nightstand, there were two plums. I asked everybody, the maid and the house, did anybody put the plums? They said no. So we had the plums, one for me, one for my wife. Then on the way back, Swami took us from Kodaikanal to Coimbatore. We had dinner there and went back to Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, three sessions, Swami told me to give a talk to the students about the experiences. Then I started my talk. Shunmanti Vishwe Amrutasya Putrasa. Swami said, stop all that Vedanta. Just tell your experiences. Then I told about this plum experience. Swami was smiling and liked. How just he takes, his love knows no bounds. How he takes care of everything, even little transient desires, silly desires we have. So not only he takes care of us before he left the body, he takes care of us even now. I want to share you that profound experience I had recently. You know, Swami had Mahasamadhi on April 24th, on the Easter Sunday. So after that, I was there for the function. I was there throughout that 1 month, back and forth, visiting Swami. Then after the Mahasamadhi, were there, and I was planning to leave on May 1st, because I had patient backlog for so many weeks, I had to go. And then I was leaving to the airport, so I went there to Swami's Mahasamadhi, touched Mahasamadhi, took the permission. I was feeling bad. Usually when Swami's physical form is there, I used to fall at his feet. He touched the blessings. He have vibhuti from his hand and wonderful things. I was feeling bad. Well, this time I had to just touch Swami's Samadhi and go. This is the permission I can get. So, and I went back to the room. That day we had to fly around 3 a.m. from Emirates Airlines. So I took the permission from Swami Samadhi, went to the room. As soon as I went to the room, I had unbearable pain. I never had in my whole life. In the back, middle upper part of the back, and the abdomen. And I thought I couldn't sit. I have a pain. I would stand. I couldn't walk, no position I was comfortable, I never had. And as a doctor, you think of the various possibility. I thought I had dissecting aneurysm, you know, or I may be thinking I had acute hemorrhagic pancreatitis, or heart attack. So all the major diagnoses, when you're a doctor, you think of that. I'm dying, but I didn't have fear. I thought the best place to die is here. This is the holiest of the holy, Puttaparthi. So where else to die? Because about 15 years ago, when I was going on a ride with Swami in the car, Swami says, what do you want? Swami, I said, the day you leave your body, I want to leave. I want to die. So just, then Swami slapped me on my face like this. He says, like a mother, loving mother, don't talk like that. That's not good. You have to do my work. Then I thought, Swami said like that, now he's fulfilling my wish. I thought, this is good. So he's finally going. So this is the thing to die. So this went on for 4 or 5 hours. So then we had to cancel the flight. My wife called the airlines, medical emergency, we can't make it, we cancel the flight. And then I could attend on May 4th, there was the Aradhana Vatsavam, special thing. So Swami wanted me, everybody said, elder said, Swami wanted you to, physically if he was there, he stopped my trip many times. This time, through the Mahasamadhi, to show that he says he is still helping us through his Samadhi, his bones will speak. So he held me back, and then next day I went to the hospital to get a checkup, and then we had the electrocardiogram normal, echocardiogram normal, CAT scan, chest normal, and then we found I had these stones in my gallbladder. So then the stones in the gallbladder was there, and there was inflammation in the ultrasound, and the liver tests were quite abnormal. My liver enzymes were all abnormal. I called Hari. Hari is the gastroenterologist. What, uncle, you have definitely gallbladder acute cholecystitis. You have, and usually standard, a lot of places they do is surgery, but I decided not to have surgery, left it to Swami, took some antibiotics. So I had to come back after just 3 days after this attack. My family, full of doctors, they said, Dad, how can you travel the long flight? They made 16 hours from Dubai to Los Angeles. How can, something happens on the plane, what will you do? I said, I leave it to the Swami's hands. So I came back to Los Angeles. I never had any more pain. I didn't have pain on the plane. I never had any more pain. So I was happy. And then Hari was telling, Uncle, it's better still you to have a checkup and see what is happening. So I did, after a week, my blood test, liver enzymes, which are 300 to 400 range, completely normal, 30s. And my ultrasound of the gallbladder, no more stones. So you, this is a demonstration. Actually, I wish I have those things. I can show you both. Right, Hari? I shared with you. And my son-in-law, he's a neuroradiologist. He has the both the pictures. How Swami takes care of us even before and after the Mahasamadhi. Because he never left us. And he will never leave us. He was with us, he is with us, and he will be with us. We should have that complete conviction. Because he is omnipresence more now more than ever. People are experiencing all over the world. As I told you, I was there in Panama about a month and a half ago. And there one devotee, they are very Orthodox Catholic devotees. So she was telling she believes only in Christ. So, but she says she loves Swami and his good works that are being done. So she was telling me just a few weeks prior to that, Swami came in the dream and he asked her, what do you call your Jehovah, Father? I didn't know that. She says Abba. Japanese, one of the names, it is Abba. It says A-B-B-A. So he says, I am same thing. You reverse it, Baba. So I am he and I are one. She says after that she had a complete conviction that Swami is the same. So many places, Swami's omnipresence is felt. In our Sat Sai Baba book center of Tustin, you know, from where all the books are sent all over the world. So there, about 20 years ago, what was happening was they were putting a new air conditioning unit. So the new air conditioning unit was being put, and there were workers who were hired and were doing the job. So the next day, they come to our the manager of the books center and the volunteers. By the way, your boss has come and he wanted to make sure everything is okay. She's considered to be the boss, the manager. I was not here. No, no, no. That man, that boss, that she showed the picture. You mean to say he was here? Yes, he was here. He wants to make sure everything is done right and everything is done. Then this was happened many years ago, I went to see Swami, and I was going again with Swami, and I says, what more? He says, Yem Samacharam. Swami says, Swami, it appears you came and gave darshan to these people who are working in the book center. They're not even devotees. Swami, you gave the darshan. Swami right away said, how do you know they're not devotees? Just a lesson for me. Never judge somebody is a devotee or a not devotee. God looks at the heart, how pure they are. That is what we think we are the devotees. Swami says, God has to tell whether you are a devotee or not. Not you telling I'm a devotee. God has to recognize that. Swami says, you are sending a letter to somebody with registered post acknowledgement due. You need to get the acknowledgement back. Yes, it is reached. Similarly, God has to say, yes, he is my devotee. That is very important. So for that, we need to lead the life like that, because we think by singing bhajans, by doing service, by doing these rituals, we think we are devotion. Devotees is need to fulfill the quality. There is one Professor Nanjundaya, some of you might know, he was the controller of the university. He was telling me an interesting story as a lesson. Many years ago, those days, 35, 40 years ago, so he used to visit Swami on an often, frequently basis, every couple of times a month. So every time he goes, he used to take some fruits and a big garland of flowers. So he used to take it and give it to Swami. And Swami used to accept. So this went on for many, many years because Swami lets it go on. So then one time Swami said, those days Swami Karunyananda, you know, one used to carry the umbrella and was a great devotee of Swami. So he used to be sitting with Swami, eat with Swami. Swami said, yes, this Professor Nanjundaya is coming right now. So even before he comes, so because he got down such and such place, because Swami's eyes are everywhere, he's coming. So he says, soon after that, Professor Nanjundaya came. He gave the garland to Swami and he gave the fruits. Then he was so much touched. Swami is always showering grace. Then he made a comment. This is very important. He said, Swami, if we have devotion, this is enough, right? Because he thought that giving flowers and garlands and fruits is enough. Swami says, if this is the kind of devotion, naku bharamu niku double waste. He says, this is heavy for my head and waste of your time. This is not devotion. If you want devotion, Swami says, go to chapter 12 in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, what are the qualities of a devotee? This is there in chapter 12, starting with Adveshta, Sarvabhutana, Maitra Karan. There are 35 qualities. I don't want to go into everything. The first is no hatred to any being, love for all, compassion for all being, equanimity in all conditions. That is the real devotion. Because Swami himself wrote a beautiful sentence. What devotion? Because Swami says devotee is the one who chants 10,000 namasmarana. He does 1 hour meditation, 5 hours. Swami says, manchi chaddalu kuda samamuga bhavinchute bhakti naku. Swami says, I have my own definition of devotion. Those who are devoted to me will treat the praise and blame, success and failure, honor and dishonor, everything is the same. Those are the real devotees. That means really if we can maintain that equanimity, then we fall into the standards of what Swami expects devotion. So that is what Swami expects us to have, the equanimity. If we do that, he takes care of all our needs. So he takes care, because he is the embodiment of love. His love is not only for us. Let me tell you, his love is for all beings. Because Swami says, every atom, every cell in this whole universe is saturated with divinity and divine love. His love is for all beings. As I said, his love is, I talked to you about the Sai Gita, the elephant. And one time this happened, you know, in Vrindavan, where Swami stays, there are the other animals used to be there, deer. One time, so we were there, this was for Bhishma Ekadasi. Swami himself told us the story. So this deer was very sick that time. It was almost dying. So Swami gave the darshan to the people in the outside in the Ramesh Hall. And then he came in and then went upstairs. Once he goes up, he doesn't come down. That day, after time, around 10:30, 11, Swami came down and this deer went there. And the deer looked into Swami's eyes, put the head in the lap of Swami and breathed the last. So she says, Swami's love is for all beings, not only for a human being, for animals and everything. And not only that, even for so-called inanimate things. We think everything is some things is living, some things non-living. But Swami says, we understand everything has the divinity saturated. Like you know the story of the weeping saris, how Swami showed even the saris have that feelings that they were not used in the divine machine, they were weeping. And similarly it happened, this was 25 years ago before the Sai Kolwant Hall was there, they were building these walls of cement and somebody was putting the water with a lot of force. And Swami was looking upstairs in the balcony and told them, tell them not to put the water with much force on the cement. Because Swami sees everything has a feeling. And another time I remember, this was in Vrindavan, Swami was coming back out of the darshan to the house, and there was a little stone was there. It hit Swami's foot, and Swami had a little bleeding. And then everybody was upset. Why that stone? Somebody was blaming other volunteers. How can you keep it like that? Swami is coming. You should keep it clean. Swami told them, no, that stone wanted to have my blessings today. So it has to have. So he sees everything. We think only beings. So he takes care of us, family, friends, animals, beings, everything. His love for all beings. Then what is our role? Because we know, we have heard enough. We can go on telling about Swami's love for us, for the beings. What is our duty? Our duty is to practice his teachings. That is what Swami said in that profound, again in the discourse, 1968, May 17th, you should read that discourse. He says, just follow my instructions. That is enough. Implicitly following his command. That is why Jesus said, what is the point of saying, Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? You need to follow the teachings of the Lord. Put into our daily practice his message. That is what makes Swami happy. Swami gives a beautiful story to illustrate that. So I will tell that and then we can continue in the afternoon. So Swami said there was a great king known for his generosity and philanthropy. He is very liberal in giving things. So once, one sculptor came to this king, Bhoja, his Swami said the name, and came, he brought three statues. They looked identical. So he says, sir, give me, highness, give whatever is worth. They look identical, so how can it be, they should be worth the same? But the tricky question, he knows, they look different, they look the same, but the values are different, there must be something. He had a wise minister. His wise minister said, sir, let me take care of this. So he took a wire, copper wire, put in the ear of one statue. It came out through the other ear. He says, this is the lowest kind. You can give it $100. Then another statue he took, put in the ear, it came through the mouth. He says, it is better kind. Give it $1,000. And then the other one he put in the ear, it didn't come out at all. This is the best statue. Is invaluable. You can give any amount. You can give your kingdom if you want. So he says, so valuable these statues. Similarly, spiritual seekers, Swami says there are three kinds. One, it goes through one ear and goes through the other ear. Oh, what did Swami say? Oh, the most powerful discourse I ever heard. What did he say? Then you scratch your head. So those are the seekers who don't pay any attention to what Swami is telling. The second is better. It goes to the ear and comes to the mouth. They say, Swami says, they're platform heroes, practical zeros. So they give love to give speeches or write books, do this, but they don't practice. That is not good either, but at least they remember the teachings. So eventually, probably they will try to practice. But the best kind are those where it goes in, sinks into them, and they put in their daily practice. That is what Swami wants us to be. Swami wants us to be statues where the example. Swami says, my life is my message. Now he says, our life should be his message. How do we do that? By imbibing his teachings and putting into practice. How to do that? And what is the main message Swami gave? I will try to share with you so that we will be all enlightened and reach the goal. Thank you and Jai Sai Ram.